This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On the Sports Map Radio Network.
All right. Let's do this.
Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us. Opening day in the NFL as we get Buffalo and the Rams tonight. And we were talking to Mike Tanier last hour from Football Outsiders. One of the questions I asked him was, hey, there's 10 new head coaches. Which ones are you most interested in? And yeah, you know what? Todd Bowles gets Tom Brady, and Doug Peterson's got no pressure in Jacksonville. Sure, Josh McDaniels is coming back to take over a playoff team in the Raiders. You know the guy, though, that I'm really curious about is Mike McDaniel in Miami. Because the Dolphins were supposed to be a good team last year, and they had a wild season where they lost 7 in a row, and they won 7 in a row, and then Brian Flores was let go. But you give Tua Tagovailoa, Jaden Waddle, and then you give him Tyreek Hill, and all of a sudden now you get an offensive-minded guy like Mike McDaniel. I'm very curious of where the Dolphins are going to be in an AFC East that right now where Buffalo's on the top, but the Patriots aren't exactly a solid two. And New England has had troubles down in Miami, even when there was Belichick and Brady riding high. And I'm curious this weekend, and again, one game isn't the whole 17-game season, but I'm really curious this year as what the Miami Dolphins are, because their defense is solid, too. I mean, their defense is solid, too. And if Tua develops and can develop, and they're saying all the right things because that's what you expect. By the way, all that stuff that comes out of training camp where they're like, he looks good, that's what you expect to hear. But he's right. You know, Mike Tanier was right. You talk to the guys who watch practice on a daily basis, the team can give all the spin it wants, but if you notice that it doesn't look good, it's not going to be good. But people are saying Tua's looking good in camp and, you know, had a good camp, and these weapons around him could be breaking the Dolphins into that next place. Are they 1A? No, but are there's a group of teams that are in that B level. I think the Dolphins are in that B level. And I think if I was New England, I'd be really careful about if I can get the second spot in this division puts me in a wild card. Well, third might not put you in the wild card based on this conference, and the Dolphins could be that good. I'm really curious about Mike McDaniel. Look, I do not knock anybody on how they got their coach, right? I mean, you want to take a young guy. We've seen that work out with, obviously, Sean McVay, for example. You want to take a guy that's been around and has bounced around a little bit and has experience. Well, that works out, too. Bruce Arians certainly did when he landed in Tampa Bay. Any way you want to get a head coach, that's fine. But the way the Dolphins threw Brian Flores and all that entire mess has set up Mike McDaniel. So I'm not exactly thrilled that Brian Flores is not in, but I know that there is a player's coach here that might do good things.
Come and listen to my story about a man named Jed. A poor mountaineer barely kept his family fed. And then one day he was shooting at some food, and up through the ground come a bubbling crude. Oil, that is, black gold, Texas tea.
This is Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, later on in this hour, we're going to do our predictions for the upcoming season, the teams we think will make the playoffs, who will win each division, who will win the conference, and who will play in the Super Bowl. And then we'll see how it goes at the end of the season. Didn't we have a whole bunch of people in studio for this?
I think
didn't
so.
Didn't we get like Jake Asman and then a couple of other people that were around the station? We had a fun time. Remember a couple of years ago? I thought so. Never mind. I don't know. My brain. Beverly Hillbillies, 1966 on television. What a cool concept this was, too.
It was.
What an interesting concept. Bunch of hillbillies. They find gold. They move to Beverly Hills. And they were fish out of water.
I think, you know, we're always doing reboots and stuff like that. You know what I saw the other day? Well, before I get to that tangent, let me finish this thought. I think you could do a reboot of this show. And
you think
it would
so?
Be good. Yeah.
You think so? Yeah.
I think you could. I think you could take, like, you know, some country people, and, you know, I think you can develop a show, like, you know, have a country and then bring them into a city life where now they have to deal with social influencers and social media and things like that. Kind of a fish out of water type thing.
Now, would you make them rich with oil, or would you go, like, they won the lottery or they did something else or they
he invested in Bitcoin.
Or something like that. Because oil seems to be a hot topic these days.
Yeah.
Right? Would you change the method in which the hillbillies got rich?
I think you would need to change the method.
Yeah. Because he just shot a bullet into the ground and oil just popped up.
Yeah, what a great concept for these were all like these were all really cool ideas. Like we've been going through these shows because it's Star Trek Day today. You know, a genie and an astronaut, a man marries a witch who has magical powers, a bunch of people from different walks of life are on an island forever, including a model and a rich guy who brought a whole suitcase of clothes for a 3-hour trip. What else have we done? A bunch of Beverly hillbillies in Beverly Hills. Like, it's pretty awesome.
All the way to superheroes.
Superheroes.
And you had like the world's worst spy. Always saved the day.
Yeah, had a bunch of gadgets.
And then you had the Western Bonanza.
The Western, yeah. So 1966.
Which is, I guess, that was that version or that year's or that age version of Yellowstone.
Yeah. And it also, right? You know, I think you're right.
Yellowstone's a little more graphic, but that's what essentially Bonanza was. It's just that's guys right. on a Western. Ranch.
And by the way, this was the isn't this the first year of what they call the Super Bowl era, because they played in 1967, January 1967,
right.
Super Bowl I. Yeah. So 1966, we kick off in yet another football season.
Now,
go ahead.
Because I was going to go on a tangent that will probably hijack this segment.
Well, all right, then let me just pause real quick, because I'm going to get this quickly out of the way.
Yeah.
Yes, we are all excited for football season to start tonight. I have to admit something. I'm fascinated with this coverage of the Queen on her deathbed. I'm on Twitter, man. And people are going crazy about wanting news about this.
I haven't looked at all.
I'm kidding. I'm like, it's well, I follow a lot of Formula One people, so that's mostly where it's coming from. But I mean, this feels like a major thing that's happening today. I don't know if it is, but it's the BBC website apparently went dark. No one knows why, so we'll see.
Conspiracy?
I don't know. Who knows? We'll see. All right, well, go on your tangent.
My tangent is this. I don't even know what I was watching the other day, and we may have brought it up briefly, or we probably talked about it off air. And I know we've talked about the show a lot on air, but did you know they're coming up with a reboot for Quantum Leap?
Oh, yeah, I did, which I'm not really thrilled about.
I'm not thrilled, but I am fascinated.
I loved the concept of Quantum Leap. I thought it was brilliant, and I loved the show. I watched it all the time.
Yeah,
but
like, I'm not thrilled about it either. I loved the original version; it was great. But
is this a continuation of Sam Beckett, or is this a different person?
I
that's
don't
not doing,
know.
Like they trapped another guy into this eternity loop of hell.
I'm hoping that it's someone got a hold of Sam Beckett's equipment and they went after him. I don't know. I really don't know much about this, except that it's going to be hitting our television pretty soon, and I think I'm going to watch the pilot at least.
Is Scott Bakula still alive?
Yeah, he's still alive.
Okay, let him
don't kill him yet.
Can he come back?
He's not the Queen.
Because at the end, yeah, I know. Oh God. Because remember at the end of Quantum Leap, Sam Beckett never returned home. So can they change that, or was that the definitive statement of his existence? That sounds like eternal punishment to me. Like everywhere he landed, he was always stressed. Like, who am I? What am I? What am I doing? How am I getting out of this pickle? But also he was doing good. So I don't know. So, yeah.
All right. So this one says that set 30 years after Dr. Sam Beckett stepped into the Quantum Leap accelerator and vanished. And a new team must restart the project, hoping to understand the mysteries behind the machine and its creator.
Oh, okay. So this is like a part. Looks like a sequel.
Yeah.
All right. I might get into it.
Is
this
going
to be
curious.
On one of those streaming services I got to pay for now to watch?
No, it's on. It's a. I believe it's on NBC, but you can stream it on Peacock. Probably premieres
right,
Monday,
well,
September
19th. I don't get 19th. Peacock. Is that another thing I got to buy?
Well, if you like, we get it automatically through our cable service.
All right. Well,
because we're we'll, I guess, all right. I'll, Xfinity is part of NBC. They're like, here's Peacock for free.
They get you every time, don't they? You know,
they
know
do.
What you do. You cut the cord, but then you got to do this. Then you got to do that. And then you got more. And then I'm seeing like shows only on Paramount, only on Hulu, only on Peacock. And I'm like, really? Is this what we're doing now?
Yeah, I believe.
Where's television going to be 25 years from now? All sports. That'll be it. That and Chopped. I'll have more episodes of Chopped. Just there. Be sports and Chopped. That'll be the only thing you'll need your cable for. Everything will be online. Everything will be streaming.
True.
Yeah, they get you. So again, we'll have predictions coming up later on in the show. I have a friend of mine who's a Buffalo Bills fan, and there is a level of energy. She's got this like level of energy with this team. And I almost like she loves the team, and she's like always on Facebook commenting on it. And she knows the pressure. She gets it. But at the same time, I wonder if Bills fans have that nervousness of like, I love this team from top to bottom, but somewhere out there in the football universe is a twist to our fate. Do you know what I mean? Like, think about just not only the four Super Bowl losses, but think about just the way they lost that game against Kansas City. Like, is there any more heartbreaking loss that you've ever had in your life that can equate or be near a leading with 13 seconds left on the road, knowing that a win puts you in a home playoff situation for the right to go to the Super Bowl? I mean, Buffalo orchestrated one of the greatest comebacks in the history of the game when they beat Houston.
Yes.
But that was a slow death, right? Like, where Oilers fans were seeing it and then seeing it and then seeing it and then seeing it. I know Patrick Mahomes is amazing. I know the Kansas City Chiefs offense is amazing. But even I, when Buffalo scored that touchdown, went, they're going to win. They're going to win this game. 13 seconds? They can't score a touchdown in 13 seconds. Oh, au contraire, they absolutely could have. And then don't get the ball in overtime. Well, that's where the football gods are just kicking you in the face. Like, oh, you thought Scott Norwood was devastating. How about 13 seconds? Like, it's just crushing. And yet, here they are, a team that is the betting favorite to win the Super Bowl again. The betting favorite. I can't wait to see what they look like tonight. I can't wait to see how they rebound after this. And like what Mike Tanier said, continuity has been the name of the game for this team. Right? That is the one thing. When you talk about Buffalo and you talk about the development of Josh Allen, and everybody has a different idea of how teams should be run. But I'm telling you, this one idea should catch on if you have a young quarterback you're developing. Try to keep him in the early stages of his career around familiar people as quickly as you possibly can. I actually misspoke. I forgot it was a field goal that they needed to kick it to tie the game. That being said, that the Buffalo Bills did not change coaches on Josh Allen all the time. And they could have, right? Josh Allen could have started. They could have been terrible. They could have been another round of terrible, but they weren't terrible. And he played well enough that they were good enough that Sean McDermott stuck around. Brian Daboll stuck around up until now. And they had Ken Dorsey, and they just promoted Ken Dorsey. He's had the same offensive coordinator up until this moment. He's had the same offensive coordinator his entire career.
Well, and that's the other thing, too, is that, you know, when you look back at Josh Allen's just his career, I mean, he was coming out of college. Everyone thought the Bills reached.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, there was like, oh, he's good, but it's Wyoming.
That's the other thing. And not only that, it was, there were people who went there and said he's good, but still people were like, I don't know.
But he's like, you know, that's Wyoming. I mean, look who he played against. He didn't play against real programs. And he arguably is the best quarterback in the league right now.
I think if you want Zach Wilson to be successful as a quarterback, you put him in a position where he's got stable people around him in the early part of the year. That's what Daniel Jones is going to have to go through. Daniel Jones is on his third coach.
Yeah.
Right? What do you think is going to happen to a guy when he's got a third coach? He's got a third different voice in his young head. There are quarterbacks that develop that come in right away and are successful. And then there are quarterbacks that grow and then they become very good, you know, 2 or 3 years in.
I can tell you, isn't that what happened? You mess up
those first couple of years with a different voice, forget it.
Isn't that what happened to Baker?
Yeah.
And Baker was the same thing. Baker. You know, and all the fingers kept pointing at Baker. This is Baker's fault.
Right.
Baker's the one who's leading this team into the ground. Not anybody else.
Hugh Jackson was his coach when he first got in the league.
Yeah, I think so.
Kevin Stefanski came and was look, when you're a bad team, you're a bad team, and we get it. You got to make coaching changes. I am not advocating that the Jacksonville Jaguars should have kept Urban Meyer all the way until until Trevor Lawrence developed. I'm not going down that road.
No, what we are advocating is he never should have been hired in the first place.
Well, yeah, but I think if you're Buffalo and you start seeing some success and you realize you've got the right guy as the head coach, then you try to keep the voices around that particular player as close as you can. Again, it's not for the rest of the career. I'm not asking you to do it forever. But I think that really helps young quarterbacks. And that's Buffalo. They didn't. Ken Dorsey had been, I think he had been with Kansas City before, if I'm not mistaken. No, San Francisco. Let me correct that. Buffalo did not go get another offensive coordinator from somewhere else.
Nope.
They knew exactly who was going to take that job. And I'm telling you, Brian Daboll, his name was being bandied about for a while, so they probably figured somebody's going to come a-calling, and they just kept it as close to the same as possible. And I think, and what he said too, Dawson Knox just got an extension. They signed Stephon Diggs, right? They gave him the big deal. Allen's got the big deal. They bring in Von Miller, but they're not overhauling anything. I think this is a Buffalo Bills team that is going about it the right way if you want to stay with what's working and keep it working. There's a change in Kansas City with Tyreek Hill out. There's a bonus that Tyreek Hill is in Miami. There's a new quarterback in Indianapolis. There's a new quarterback in Denver. There's a new head coach with the Raiders. Like, I can go down the list. There's a new offensive line for the better in Cincinnati, right? There's all sorts of things that are playing out with all these teams in the AFC. The most consistent team that has pretty much is staying as close to exactly the same as you can is Buffalo. They added Von Miller, but again, Ken Dorsey moving up, it's the same voice that was in his head last year without Brian Daboll participating.
And that's really a credit. I mean, we got to give credit to the front office as well.
Absolutely.
Just because when they've needed a piece, they went out and got the right one.
Right.
They didn't gamble. I mean, like, you know, Josh Allen needed a weapon. So what did they do? They made a deal, and you were able to bring in Stephon Diggs. And that is that made all the difference in the world.
They've done
the right thing every step of the way.
Going back to that playoff game, like giving up the 44 yards for the field goal that tied it and the 75 yards for the touchdown that won it, you've got to shore that up, right? You've got to get better at that. It's not just a Patrick Mahomes thing. I mean, again, Sal Capaccio said it. That wasn't the Buffalo Bills going, nothing we can do. It's Patrick Mahomes. What's it? No, you can play tighter. They played so loose on that final drive, afraid to give up the big play, that led to them going 3 quick in 13 seconds and getting the field goal.
Yeah, 13 right? seconds.
And then 8 plays 75 yards to get the touchdown to win it. Like, they played too loose they needed to protect that 3-point lead.
And you know what that game did, and I love it for it, is that I don't remember the AFC Championship at all.
Oh, I remember Kansas City had a lead. I can't remember what the lead was, but I remember they were comfortable for a bit until something happened in the second half, and Cincinnati just scored.
That fourth quarter of Chiefs Bills, you can almost recall every single play. Like, and the momentum was just going this way. No, it's going back this way now. It's this team, that team. It was like, it was unreal.
It was the craziest final 2 minutes I've ever seen.
Yep.
Just to recap, Gabriel Davis caught a touchdown from Josh Allen just under 2 minutes left. Tyreek Hill with just over a minute left, caught a pass from Patrick Mahomes, and then Gabriel Davis again, who caught all the touchdown passes in the game, by the way, caught a 19-yard pass as they went 75 yards in 49 seconds. The drive before was 52 seconds by Kansas City, and then 13 seconds to set up the game-tying field goal. That's how crazy that game was. All right, we got predictions coming up next as we continue on Wake Up Call.
Is Wake Up Call on the SportsMap Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, welcome back as we continue. Prediction times, but this is Green Acres 1966. 1966 was pretty good for television, or was it bad TV that just became nostalgic? Good question. Good question.
Both are right.
Both are right?
I think both are right.
Okay. Was this a good show? I know it's a famous show, but I don't know. I never watched it.
Yeah, I have no idea.
This is another one where the woman wanted to live in New York, and he was like, no! Woman, get up and go to the farm. I think, she's like, what?
Isn't it the opposite of Beverly Hillbillies? Like, they took a rich family and they moved them to the country?
They took a rich couple and moved them to a farm.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's how they did TV back then. They were like, hey, we have an idea for a show. What is it? We take a bunch of hillbillies, they strike oil, and then we move them to Beverly Hills. And then the guy goes, that's funny. I got a show where we have a rich couple in New York, and they move to the hills. And you go, ah, well, they move on a farm.
I mean, you know, Lost in Space is pretty much Gilligan's Island, right?
Yeah, it's pretty much. They're just all copying each other.
They're just lost in space.
That's right. All right, it's prediction time. So this is where we put all of our predictions down. And then in February, we go, hey, do we have that prediction sheet? And we go, no, we lost it. And then we go, oh, okay, because I can't remember what we predicted. So here we go. You ready? We're going to go through the AFC. We're going to give our divisional winners and the reasons why we think those teams are going to win the division. And then we will give our three wild card teams coming out of the division. So those are the big deals. This is a loaded AFC, but we'll start with the East. I think both of us probably have the same team. I think the Buffalo Bills will win this, but I don't think they'll win it super comfortably. Ha! Well done. Do you think Buffalo wins it by one game, two games, three? They only won it by one game last year.
I think it's going to be a little bit more comfortable.
A little more comfortable.
Yeah, I think it'll definitely be. I think, putting it this way, I don't know how many games up there'll be, but I do think that by week 18, week 7.
Week 18 week would 18. Be the full season.
God, yeah. It's been a year and I'm still not used to it.
I'm not used to it either.
But I think by that final week, most of the starters are resting. They don't need to win that game to clinch.
All right, let's go to the North. This is interesting. You've got a healthy Lamar Jackson in Baltimore now. Wasn't healthy last year. Bengals are the defending AFC champs. Cleveland, if they get Deshaun Watson on the field in Week 11 and have done some good things, they might be kicking around. But who do you have winning the AFC North?
I have the Bengals.
Me too.
I think, you know, we just had a Mike Tenier on last hour, and what he said was perfect. That the Bengals, what they needed, they went out and got. And we said it earlier too, an entire offensive line. That's what they needed.
They got an entire offensive line. They got Aaron Donald came in on that last play. They realized that's not going to help us. We got to get better at that. They went out and got better at that. Yeah, I think the Ravens are going to be good. If Lamar Jackson stays healthy, I think they'll be around. But in the end, I think the Bengals go on and win this division. All right, the South. I'll start. Mike Tenier said he went through 1,000 scenarios on his computer at Football Outsiders, and it kept turning out Indianapolis Colts. I'm still taking the Tennessee Titans to win this division. I think the Colts have an upgrade, obviously, with Matt Ryan, even though Matt Ryan is older than Carson Wentz and been in the league a long time. But there's something about Tennessee. Harold Landry being lost is a huge, huge problem. He was the guy that could get to the quarterback, and this was a team, the Titans, over the last couple of years, didn't get to the quarterback very well. That's a big deal. And yes, A.J. Brown being out is not just replaceable with a kid from Arkansas. I don't care. But I think this team plays really good for their coach, really, really well for their coach. And Mike Vrabel is a little bit like Dan Campbell. He demands toughness. He demands a consistency. I think everybody in that camp is going to work hard. I don't think the Colts are that much greater than Tennessee. I think Tennessee squeaks this out in the end.
This one's tough. This one's almost tough. For me, I almost feel like it's a coin flip because I do feel that this division is going to go down to the final day. I am also on the Titans bandwagon. I guess not really a bandwagon, but I'm on the Titans as well.
I'm going to put you down for Tennessee.
I do think Derrick Henry is going to be the difference maker here.
Yeah,
I know everyone's looking at Jones up or Jonathan. What's his name?
Jonathan Taylor.
Taylor. Thank you, Jonathan Taylor up at the Colts as being the number one running back to grab this season if you're playing fantasy. I still think Derrick Henry is a force to be reckoned, and if he is healthy all season long, the Titans are going to go as far as he is, and I think he's going to rush for 2,000-plus yards.
They really are a different that's a different formula than a lot of these teams that are going to go win this thing.
Yeah.
Is the Titans have a different formula of doing it, but I still like them. To me, I think the Colts are going to be a threat. They won it by three games last year, the division. They're going to be a threat, but I think Titans hold on. The AFC West, I've said many times, grab a team, pull them out of a hat. It could be anybody. I'm not doing this because you're on the show. I actually believe in them. I think the Chargers are going to win this division. I hope it's not a kiss of death, man. I really do. But I think they're J.C. Jackson, Khalil Mack on defense. I like their coach. I think Herbert takes step after step after step. I just think the Chargers, this is going to be bloody. It's going to be back and forth. I think that teams are going to be beating the hell out of each other in this division. When it's left, I think the Chargers are on top. Barely, but on top.
If you go back to my top five, bottom five, when I was doing the top five, I did have the Chiefs listed ahead of the Chargers, right?
Right.
That's because I do believe it's week one, and I'm, you know, I'm curious to see what's going to happen with the Chargers. They'll face each other in week two. I'm with you. I do think, and I'm not just trying to be biased here, but I do think this is the Chargers season to make waves.
All right, we're going to give our wild card teams for the AFC coming up, and then the NFC teams coming up next. We continue.
You're listening to Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, Mission Impossible was also one in 1966?
Yes, it was. That's the year it debuted.
Wow. Star Trek and Mission Impossible?
Yeah.
Crazy. Crazy. Mission Impossible movies, I sort of lost them down the road a little bit. Are they still good?
They are. I have seen the last couple of them. I mean, they're fantastic. I enjoy it. You just know that it's hopefully it's not real life.
Yeah, yeah.
Because that'd
right.
be worrisome. There is another one coming out. I don't remember what it's called.
You can just keep doing these over and over again.
Tom Cruise just keeps going and going and going.
How impossible are these missions if you can continue just to keep doing
them? Well, here's the deal, right? And this is what has me excited for this next one because it was a trailer right before Top Gun.
Right.
And it's a part one of two movies.
Oh, okay.
And that has me excited just because you know if they are already announcing part one of two, that there's going to be a cool, hopefully a really good cliffhanger.
Oh, all right. Very good.
And I like cliffhangers in movies.
You know, you like waiting like 2 years or a year
but
for
I think
the
it'll
other
just,
one?
I don't even know if it's going to be a full year because I think they were filming both at the same time. It could be like a six-month ordeal or something like that. But it's a full year, yeah, I don't mind.
Okay.
Like, I didn't mind the Infinity War to Endgame.
Yeah, that's true.
I didn't
good
mind
point.
That at all.
Good
I liked it.
Good point. All right, so we did the AFC predictions, and we pretty much went the exact same. So if you're looking for diversity on the show, like where we are different on opinions.
Hey, we've been doing this too long.
Isn't the, yeah. Buffalo, Cincinnati, Tennessee, and the Chargers to win their divisions this upcoming season.
Yeah.
All right. Very good. So.
I'm looking at it. It's like I don't know why. I mean, we keep talking about how strong the AFC is, but I do think that that's going to be the top four.
Yeah. All right. Now it's time for wild card teams. So these are three of the teams that didn't quite make our cut as divisional winners, and who we are going to go with wild card. So I'll just go one back and forth.
Are we doing it or like the last one in or no?
No, just any
just,
three.
Just
it's
three?
Fine.
Okay.
It's fine. I'll give you my first one. I think Kansas City makes the playoffs. I don't think, you know, they may not win the division, but Kansas City's making the playoffs. I just think that in this division that has been getting better and better while Kansas City has been so excellent, I just think in this year, it will be the Chargers' year to win the division, but the Chiefs will still be a presence in the postseason.
I'm just going to say yes. I think the Chiefs are in it.
All right, so no surprise there.
No brainer. That's probably the easiest one out of all of them.
All right. I am also taking the Indianapolis Colts to make the playoffs. They came close last year with Carson Wentz. Shouldn't they come better, have a better chance with Matt Ryan? Yeah, they run the ball well with Jonathan Taylor, and Matt Ryan's going to be a better quarterback. They are well coached. I think Frank Reich is a good coach. And I do think that when you have two games against Houston and Jacksonville, it's going to allow you to have a bit of a cushion if you can just take care of those games. They could not beat Jacksonville at the end of the season. And divisional games are tough. Don't get me wrong. It doesn't matter how bad you are. But at least gives them an opportunity to get a couple of AFC games in the bag than other teams may struggle with. So I'm taking the Colts.
Okay. I'm not.
Okay. Give me one of those teams.
I think the Dolphins are going to be sneaking in here.
Okay.
I think the Dolphins are going to be a wild card to this team or this year. Whatever's been going on down in Miami over the last couple of years, we might actually forget about it and get back to just the Dolphins being really good at football.
Yeah. All right. I think that's crazy. So crazy, I have the Dolphins in the playoffs, too.
All right, there you go.
Yeah, those are my three. Chiefs, Colts, and Dolphins. I have Miami. I tell you, find me an interesting season than the Dolphins last year. Crazy season. Out of it, completely out of it, losing games. And then catch a schedule where they caught a break. They played some bad teams, and the Saints team that was just decimated with COVID. But nevertheless, they did win seven in a row. New coach, new mindset. The attitude is different. Brian Flores was tough on the players. Mike McDaniel is not. He's a player's coach. They seem to be enthusiastic. If Tua plays well, he's got the weapons around him to make him play well. I think the Dolphins are going to get in there.
I think the Dolphins will. That means
New England's not getting in my list. It means the Patriots are not in, but I don't know who you have as your third team.
Well, my third team, and it pains me to do this.
Uh-huh.
It really does. But I have the Raiders.
Yeah, I went back and forth with them.
I think the move to get Davante Adams is going to pay off huge, and I think that's going to be the fun duo. I know I think Michael Irvin came out and said Kirk Cousins is going to be the MVP this year.
Yeah, yeah.
Hear me out. I mean, I think it'll probably be, you know, one of the top four teams in the AFC this year, one of the quarterbacks of one of those teams.
Sure.
But I'm going to slide in Derek Carr as a sneaky underdog pick, I guess, or look at it, a sleeper, if you will, just because I think there's going to be chemistry right off the bat between him and Davante Adams that's going to propel Carr up. I don't think they're going to be as strong as the Chargers or the Chiefs. But I do think the Raiders are sliding into that final spot, much like they did the last year.
All right, so you got three teams in the West that are making the playoffs.
I have three teams in the West.
I have two. We both have the Dolphins. We both have Kansas City. And I took the Colts and you took the Raiders. So pretty similar. But let's go to the AFC. This NFC, this was way too easy, unfortunately, with divisional winners. And I'm not going to be the guy. Listen, I know somebody else would be like, I want clicks, so I'm taking the Lions. Not here. I'm not doing that. The NFC East. This actually made me think. I think the Cowboys win this, but I'm watching the Eagles really carefully. The Cowboys offensive line is a wreck. Not a lot of people are still sold on Dak. They got Michael Gallup out. There's nobody to throw to. I'm picking the Cowboys because I think overall they're better, but the Eagles could be really sneaking up on that division. But I'm hanging with the Dallas Cowboys for right now.
I think the Cowboys are going to implode at some point this season.
I'm with you.
I have the Eagles
winning
this division.
Good for you.
There's just something about this team right now that I think it's their time. And I think it's a combination. I don't have faith in the Commanders. I don't have faith in the Giants. You know, let's rule those two out. It's a two-horse race. It's going to be that way all season long. I think the Eagles have a better path way than the Cowboys do.
No, I agree.
But I do feel that injuries, penalties, Mike McCarthy are all going to get in the way of the Cowboys ascending to where they want to go. I can see Jerry Jones firing McCarthy mid-season and derailing this whole thing.
I could see it too. You know what? You're a better man than I, Charlie Brown.
I should have stuck to my guns with the Eagles.
I should have stuck to my guns with the Eagles. I don't know why, but it's too late. It's in ink.
You're doing it for your brother. How about that?
I'm doing it for my brother. Yeah, he'd probably be really mad if I told him I picked the Eagles. But Dallas is a mess. All right, this is a little easier in the North, Green Bay. No Davante Adams. I still don't see a problem. I think this division is getting a little better. I think the Lions are building something. And I think Justin Fields, if he emerges as a decent quarterback, but this has always been Aaron Rodgers' division, much like Brady owned the East. Rodgers has owned the West. He hasn't had the team that has been right there, nip and tuck. There's been a couple of times where the Minnesota's put together a good season. But this has always been Aaron Rodgers' division, and I don't think it's going to change here, even if they lose Davante Adams. Packers are going to win the North.
I'm not even going to add on to that.
Yeah, it's nothing much.
Packers.
All right, the next one. This could be tricky. The Buccaneers. I got the Buccaneers winning the South, but hear me out on this. The offensive line is really going to be a problem, and I am really, really interested in Brady and his commitment. I've never thought I would say that ever in my life, but there is something there. I don't know what it is, and I don't know how big it is. It could be as small as a mustard seed or bigger than a boulder. I have no idea what that is, but there is something there. I don't know. But the Saints, hear me out on this. The Saints went 5-2 in seven games Jameis Winston played. Then he got hurt and the season was completely lost. They have Michael Thomas back. Dennis Allen is a good coach. He's not Sean Payton good, but he could be a good coach for them. If Jameis Winston plays, they might win enough. And if there's something where the Buccaneers stumble a bit, they might get it. The problem is this. I think the gap, though, is too big. I think if the Buccaneers stumble, we're talking like 11 wins, not 13. And I don't know if the Saints can get 11 wins. I'm taking the Bucs, but watch for the Saints.
I'm taking the Bucs as well, but I don't. I'm kind of with you in what you were saying. I don't think it's easy. I don't think it's just a rollover. I don't think it's them going 14-3 or 13-4 or whatever.
Yeah, they went 13-4 last year, and the Saints went 9-8.
Yeah, so I don't think it's that way. I think the Buccaneers will have to. You know, they may have the final game of the season where they're able to take off, but it's going to be a tight race all the way through.
All right, the West. I got the Rams. I believe in the Rams more than I believe in Kyler Murray, more than I believe in Trey Lance, and I definitely believe in them more than Geno Smith. I'm taking the Rams. They're defending Super Bowl champs, and they didn't really lose a punch. They didn't implode in the offseason where everybody took off. Von Miller, yeah, that's a loss, but it's not a world ender.
Yeah.
Right? Matt Stafford's elbow. All right, we'll see tonight. But right now, the Rams are the leader in the clubhouse in that division.
Yeah. I mean, if Matt Stafford falls off the face of the planet, I still say the Rams are going to be okay. I just, there's just something about this team. Super Bowl champions, they have all the swagger right now. It's going to be the Rams.
All right, so it wasn't exactly difficult in the NFC, but no. The wild card teams could be. So I'm going to start with mine. I told you to watch out for the Eagles. I think the Eagles are going to be in the postseason again. I'm with you, man. I think they can win the division, but I'm sticking with Dallas. But if I'm going to stick with Dallas and I think the Eagles are a threat, I'll put the Eagles in the playoffs.
I have the Niners. I do think the Niners. I think there's going to be another team that comes out of the AFC West, and I think it's going to be the Niners. I don't really, obviously, I don't have any faith in the Seahawks. I don't think it's going to be the Cardinals either. And so this is my only other team coming out of the NFC West. I think the Niners are the one that gets through.
All right, I got the Niners too. That's my second team in the wild card. I got the 49ers as well. If you're going to ask a second year guy to take over a team, you cannot ask for a better situation for a quarterback to take over a team. That most second year guys are taking over bad teams. That's why they're drafted. But the Niners had injuries enough where they could take Trey Lance, but they are built really, really well around him. Defensively and offensively, they are built solid around Trey Lance. I think they make the playoffs. And I think Kyle Shanahan is too good of a coach to have a take that talent without Jimmy Garoppolo and blow it up. Jimmy Garoppolo wasn't the reason the 49ers made the playoffs in the first place. I think Trey Lance doesn't have to do awesome things for this to happen, so I'm going to give it to the Niners because of everything around San Francisco. I like that.
Yeah, I had a little bit of fun with this one. Another team that I have making a wild card, and it could be the final day of the season, last place. I have the Panthers.
Panthers!
I kind of like the move for, Baker Mayfield to go down there. And this all is on if Christian McCaffrey stays healthy.
It's always the case, right?
I mean, I could burn this in 1 minute. Because, it could happen in the first game. But I think with a healthy Christian McCaffrey, Baker Mayfield getting new surroundings and wanting to, go scorched earth and prove to everyone that he is a quarterback that belongs in this league, I think the Panthers are going to play really well this year.
When we did our preview, it was like, look, there's a lot to like here, but the one thing that not to like is injuries. It just plagues this team to a point where you don't really know what the Panthers could be full force, fully healthy. It's always been a problem with McCaffrey, who's a game changer. All right, my final team to make the playoffs in the NFC, I'm going with New Orleans. Again, same thing. Jameis Winston is coming off a major injury last year and actually had a foot injury early in training camp that kept him out of most of the preseason. I think he played the final game. Was going to see action in week two, but didn't. But if Winston's healthy, I think this team can do some things and make the postseason. Michael Thomas, we'll see. I don't think this is a world breaking. He didn't play at all last year. He had trouble with Peyton because of when he was supposed to have the surgery. But when he's healthy, he's outstanding. I think the Saints win enough games to get in. Oh, barely made it last year. Barely missed out last year. So I got Saints.
I have the Cardinals.
All right.
Now, I don't have a lot of faith in them to make a real good run at the NFC West, but I do have faith in them to be one of the top seven teams in the league. Just because I don't like the other teams.
Right. I gotcha. I gotcha.
That's the only reason why. It's almost like they're going to back into the playoffs just because. Kyler Murray will find a way to get them there. Cliff Kingsbury will find a way to get them there. They're not going to cruise into the playoffs with ease. It's just going to be, hey, we were on a hot win streak like we were last year. Then we lost a whole bunch of games. And look at us. We still made the playoffs. Kind of like the Mets.
Kind of like the Mets, right. All right, so Eagles, Saints, 49ers for me, 49ers, Panthers, Cardinals for you. The only difference in the division was Eagles for you, Cowboys for me, Packers, Buccaneers, and Rams all winning the division. So this goes in the drawer until mid-February when we break it out again to see exactly how we did. There you go. It's Wake Up Call, Sports Map Radio.
You're listening to Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, real quick, we have got to get to the conference games.
Yes.
Because we forgot conference games and Super Bowl predictions amongst the TV theme musics of 1966. Andy Griffith Show.
Yep.
That's another one. Jeez, they're all good. Hall of Fame television shows that year. All right, let's get to the AFC. My championship game in the AFC is going to be the Buffalo Bills against the Cincinnati Bengals.
And
the Buffalo Bills are going to win and represent the AFC.
I'm with you.
All right, you say same thing?
Except, no, I have Bills over the Chargers.
Oh, Bills over the Chargers.
Yeah,
okay.
I think it'll be close, but it's not the Chargers' time just yet.
Right. All right, so the Bills are in the Super Bowl in Phoenix. In the NFC, I really didn't want to do this. I swear I didn't want to do this. I wanted it to be a surprise and fun. But I went with the Buccaneers against the Rams. I couldn't figure out another one that made real sense to me. I know Aaron Rodgers has a hard time getting to the Super Bowl since his last trip in 2010?
Yeah.
But I wanted to put him there, and I didn't.
I did.
I went Buccaneers-Rams.
I went there, and I had the Packers over the Rams.
All right. So you have the Packers going to the Super Bowl?
I have Aaron Rodgers heading back.
I have Tom Brady going back. How dumb am I? I got Tampa Bay and Buffalo in the Super Bowl. And who do you have winning your Super Bowl?
I have the Bills beating the Packers.
I have the Bills as well. This could be the kiss of death for Buffalo.
Probably. Sorry, Buffalo.
Sorry, Buffalo.
Sorry, Sal.
When we pull these out, yeah, poor Sal. Just one trip. One trip for Sal, please. All right, we continue. It's Wake Up Call, Sports Map Radio.